situation or understanding to the perspective and
I don't know if they have there's been a talk of a private policy and what whether that is in place. I don't know, because that would at least we don't say to anybody that look, you're supposed to go or from your party or what or you can't go. But if there's a policy in place, everybody conforms to that policy. True. to the skeleton today. Arama Sikho wants to go at half past, at a quarter past 10. Honorable Mbili is off sick. I don't know. I mean, Honorable Snell was here. So he is also part of the ad hoc committee. Let's deal with that. But I don't know how we're going to. Must really advise me. I know that this meeting is not a meeting that is supposed to take decisions, but it's important that people understand. Maybe we can take this presentation, and the other people will get the notes as we, I mean, yeah, as is known. People gather notes. I understand that there are a lot of apologies. Of the 1st of November 2011 of the old committee. That took a decision that this committee must do oversight over the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. We had this topic early when we did the strategic plan and we decided to pack it at the time. But it was only yesterday when I got an official document. I think it's an official document. But I know that it was also in the 80s. I don't know what the 80s is that, but it was in the 80s. Yeah, all of our concerns, but it was in the 80s that we used to deal with this. So I want to make a proposal. That whilst we're still investigating whatever all the legalities and what, the proposal that I want to make is that we should continue looking at the first lens of the department and what the budget for the department will be debated on the 16th. Last year, it was the first time that this first plan and budget was referred to us. At the last minute, we had to do it running around. I remember there was a fight whether it was the agency or what. But now everything has been formalized. So my suggestion that I want to make is that we need to invite the performance monitoring and evaluation continue with the work while parallel if we want to continue to challenge the legality of what we can do that. We do not have much time, but I want to ask to take a decision despite that we not a quorum, so that the committee section can expedite the whole thing. So, I don't know. Can I invite comments on our book?
Jay, yes, thank you. You know, the document are official, and it wasn't an HEC. So, you know, it's a very complicated thing. There's nothing we can do about it. We don't have to make that decision. The decision is made for us. But I think what we as a committee need to do is that we have the number, you know, everybody here, we should discuss it, because, you know, I just feel that we, back in next week, I can see already, we're going to have a battle to get through all those departments, you know, first thing, from every week and every day. And then on top of that, you know, we must do performance monitoring and evaluation I just don't think we have the time, and I think it was a bit unfair of the rules committee that we can't make that decision. We have to send it back to the rules committee if we don't agree. So at this stage, you know, it's a decision, and I think we would have to park it, as you said, until we have a full complement of members here, and then we can discuss it as the association committee. So, but let's, you know, if such a decision is made, let's do it.
Can we then take this proposal on our part? I know that the proposal that we need to it's a public day. I mean, a Thursday morning is it's a public day, caucus day for parties. It means that 26th. Yeah, it's a day before the long weekend. Maybe the parties may not have caucus day. So please, then can you confirm that we have it on Thursday? On Thursday morning, 9 o'clock, between 9 and 1, we take both monitoring and NYCA. And then, yeah, we discuss with them. But I just need your advice. I don't have experience. When you do a strategic plan, does it include the budget presentation? Okay, can the Telelan and Mosa, no? Now it looks like it's clear for Friday. Well, okay. Now then that's good. Then maybe we can then request the other parties and the aid to try to reduce that. But I want to make an appeal to the research unit. That we have taken this resolution, but on Thursday morning will invite performance monitoring and NYTA to come and present to us the spectrum. Please assist us with the research of the of those documents. So that if we could have them by Wednesday afternoon, so that members could just have a look at them. But we'll also appeal to members, even those who are not here, that it will really be necessary that we are all here except those who are in hospital. But I mean, we can't invite people to get us a committee. Okay. Any questions? So it means that between now and Wednesday you must work on the, on those two questions. I don't know. I have spoken to Darren to organize copies. I'm sure when he's here he will tell. If then we could move to the coming to analysis of the research project report. Today I'm advised that it's not going to be like a normal reading, but they are going to present, do it over, what do you call it? Yeah, they are going to present slides. I think that, except that they arrive late. Otherwise, I think that the approach that has been taken today is a very one, it's not a progressive one. Can you quickly get into it? No apologies, nothing, get into the presentation.
Okay, thank you, Chair. My name is Honourable Member. We'll just start from the... We'll use the background introduction, but we'll start from the view of the center, where we are saying the government or the department were allocating a total amount of 1 billion in direct charge. Part of that was 8.8 billion, right? 9.4% for current payments. And also 343.4 billion rand, 7.9% for transfer subsidies, 12.1 billion, which is 2.4% for capital payment. On the next slide, we tried to look at the NPF or the past 3 financial years. We identified the third quarter of those financial years to check the increase on the overall budget versus the increase or a decrease on the overall economy. We wanted to check the consistency. We wanted to check whether the increase has been already realized in the financial year when the budget is tabled is also an equivalent increase to the expenditure level. If you look at this slide, in front of us, that says review of total allocation of the trend from 2009 to 2011, it looks at three different financial years. First financial year that we look at is 2009-2010, where we use that financial year as a baseline. We said the total allocation there was 100%, so we interpreted it as a percentage. Then in terms of the percentage increase, we went to 14%, then to 2010-2011. That means between 2009-2010 and 2010-2011, the budget has increased by 14%, to make it 114%. We move on to 2011-2012 to check the increase also. Between 2010-2011 and 2011-2012, the increase was 8%, which overall makes us to have that 122.0% increase for the past 3 years. Now, the red line represents the actual expenditure now, on the third quarter. We want to check now that the third quarter is there any progress in terms of spending now? We looked at the 2019 return, we realized that the spending on the 2019 return was 74.4%, which was below 70%, which is a normal benchmark for the department. Because we assume that during the first quarter, budget has been adjusted, people have done transfers and subsidies, people have done most of the transactions. Because third quarter is a very critical, or it's a catalyst of the fourth quarter. Because if you have not done all the things in the third quarter, then you are bound to have a mass spike in the fourth quarter, fiscal jumping, you are bound to have unusual expenditures, irregular expenditures, because you are rushing to finish that budget. When we looked at moving from 2009-2010, the trend now, 2010-2011, the department has spent 73.4%, which is a declining trend from the 2009-2010. As well as also 2011-2012, it also declined because they spent about 71.8%. So if you look at this figure, this graph, it simply tells you that the gap is widening up. Because why the budget overall is increasing, but the expenditure is not increasing, instead it's decreasing. Now, what I want us to have in mind moving to the fourth quarter is to put this picture in the back of our mind. So we can check, double check on our fourth quarter, if this gap is going to close. And if it's closed, we have to check what are the actions taken to make sure that this gap is closed. Is there value for money in those transactions that we're committing? Is there a progressive spending in terms of ensuring that the plan entities are implemented according to the way they were, you know, prescribed during the beginning of the year? Government objectives have been achieved. It would take a lot of effort and energy to actually verify that. So all in all, there is no alignment. There is no relationship between the increase in the budget and the expenditure. On the next slide, we look at now what we know that our budget has got about three economic classifications that informs the budget overall. Now we need to look at what are these economic classifications. What contributions have they done to this expenditure pattern of the overall? We've got the current payments, we've got transfer subsidies, we've got the CAPEX, the capital payment to capital assets. Because these are the factors that actually drive that expenditure trend that you've seen in the first diagram. Firstly, we've got a green line which represents the current payments. In 2009-2010, your current payments were 69.2% that was spent, which is far below the 75% that needs to be spent in the third quarter. Moving to the 2010-2011, it declined to 68.7%. Moving to 2011-2012, it also declined to 68.8%. It did not decline, it increased slightly by 0.2%, which is not a big increase, a significant increase. That increase might actually emanate from the wage bill that the government is in the particular is experiencing at the present moment. It might also emanate from the response of the government from the call by the citizen's address in 2011, where the president was saying people must feel all vacancies. Because we know that current payments are actually consist of two categories. Competitive employees to be the personnel and goods and services. What you've noticed is that people are not spending much on goods and services, hence the declining trend. Because of particular reasons, one, invoices are not paid, two, they are not paid on time or they are not submitted to them as a department by a service provider. Competitive employees have got a lot of challenge when it comes to vacancies. They're still raising it. You will see when we go into detail. But we have detailed all the information in this particular document. We also look at the top line, which is a maroon of spirit, and put it like that, which represents the transfer and subsidies. If you notice among members, the transfer and subsidies occupy a majority of your budget. which is 67.9% overall. And also, if you look at the expenditure also here on investigation, it's higher than any other investigation. 2009-2010, it was 76.8%. It declined by 2010-2011 to 76.1%. It further declined this year to 74%. There are a lot of issues involved in this particular transfer. You've got traditional grants, you've got MIGs, you've got infrastructure grants provinces, you've got ECWP, and so forth and so forth. Some of these grants were not transferred at the end. There are transfers that needed to go to organizations such as the Love Life, they have not been transferred. There are transfers that needed to go to organizations like Commission of Gender Equality, they have not been transferred. Then you've got your last trend there, which is a blue line, which represents payment for total assets. It started by 64.0% in 2009-2010, which is also below this 75%. It declined to 47.7% by 2010-2011. It also declined by 2011-2012 further to 44.8%. If you check also on this report, most of the reasons that department is cited is that they have not been able to spend their money on CAPEX. Most of them are below even 40%, which symbolizes that people have not spent CAPEX, have not implemented their capital projects in line with their time, with their quarterly timing. Because if you look at this 44.8%, it has not even made an expenditure for two quarters. Makes an expenditure for 1.5 quarters. We also look at now the overall economic classification in terms of the department. We say, okay, out of all these departments that were given, and out of all this overall analysis is done on the above slide, what are the most or the extreme cases in our government? Which department has not really spent? You will see there is a column, a red column on that table. From number one.
Department number one to department number
eight. Those are the worst case scenarios. Oh, from number one to number three are the worst case scenarios because they spend up to 50% up to the third quarter. And you would assume that they would have at least be closer to 7 something, including performance monitoring. One is your communication department. You have allocated 2 billion, it is only spent 40%. Two is the Department of Water Affairs, allocated 9 billion. We know that during the adjustment period, this budget was adjusted downward because it was 9.9 billion. So the 9 million was taken out of this budget during the adjustment. But still, it has not up to even 50%. You have only spent 40%. Monitoring and evaluation was given 96.2 million. It has spent about 51% of that budget. Those are your worst case scenarios. That's why we've given them a bold table. Below that, little bit from 50% to 58%. They are trying, even though they are below 75%. Mr. Treasurer, one is one of the countries in that category, was given 23.9 billion, only spent 60%. But most of not, only the numbers that. You must note that most of these expenditures are actually dominated by transfer and subsidies. And when you look at the economic classification, people have not spent because they still have vacancies, people still have got unpaid invoices, people still have got unfinished projects, and so forth and so forth. Then the second one is work development. They've only spent 60% of 8.1 billion. Cooperative governance, they've spent 65.5% of 48.2 billion. Basic education has only spent 55.7% of 14.1 billion. Correctional services have spent 68.6% of 16.7 billion. Correctional services, we have not been inviting it in this committee. But even though their spending is not that bad, but when you look at the other side of the coin, where the Auditor General has raised a number of issues, we've seen it necessary to actually include it. Because this document is a very comprehensive document that we may actually use continuously up to the fourth quarter. It has meant to cover all the issues from different stakeholders that have contributed to oversight, to strengthen the oversight. Then you have the very line which was supposed to be orange, which is the number 9 department, human settlement, was given 22.8 billion, has spent 74.9%, which is a little bit better. But on this case as well, you must note that this department is 90% of its budget are transferred. Now, if you strip those transfers, take out the transfer expenditure, you then start to see the reality. Where continuing employees are concerned, the loss of vacancies, they don't have capacity, but they need to support provinces. You wonder how they're going to support provinces if they don't have capacity themselves. Then sending as a public work in your new model of CPWP, it was saying you're going to support municipalities and provinces to implement incentive grants, but when you check at their challenges currently, is that of the capacity. They don't have capacity. Then you ask yourself, how are they going to? Why are they committing themselves to these over-ambitious, whether they don't have capacity themselves, they still have a problem themselves that they need to address. If you have a Department of Health, which is number 10, spent 75% on track, it's just on track, but you would remember that it also has got a large chunk of transfers and subsidies, which consists of your transfers to provinces, HIV and AIDS grants, your hospital special services of grants, infrastructure to provinces on health grants and so forth and so forth. So this spending, as they were reflected in the classification, are meant to notify the transfer. That's to bring up members, there's still more work to be done on other economic classifications. Because that's their core function. That's where the public job. Transfers, they don't implement transfers. Somebody else implements transfers. So they are transferring those money. So they cannot break and say, no, we'll spend up to 25%. But actually transfer that's gone to that level. You also have the last one, which is the Department of Women and Children. Was given 143.1 million, has spent 79.4%. This is a overspending. Remember that we've been struggling to get a lot of information in the past financial years from this department to make sure that we analyze the expenditure. As such, in this presentation, we were unable to capture the expenditure for the past 2 years. So we only had the expenditure report for the 2011-2012 financial year. Moving to the next slide, remember. Now, we said all the departments that we've outlined in the table, which is applied, let us now check that their past performance in terms of spending for the past 3 years. The number of water affairs started by 67.7%, which was also below 70% in 2010. But in 2010-2011, it dropped to 61.8%. 2011-2012, it further dropped to 46.8%. Department of Performance did not have that information because it was still falling under presidency, therefore we only had information for 2011-2012. But it spent 61.8%, as we have indicated earlier on. The Rural Development started at 67.7% in 2009-2010. 2010-2011 dropped to 66.5%. It further dropped in 2011-2012 to 60.2%. This, honorable members, is a picture that we need to put at the back of our minds moving forward that things are not improving, in fact. Instead, they're getting worse when it comes to expenditure. And that expenditure is not done from the tree or from the air. There are set plans, there are government objectives that are set to be implemented through this budget. Now, if these budgets are not spent and they are further declining, spending is further declining, what implications does it have to the service delivery? What implications does it have to the policies that are announced during the beginning of the year And during the budget votes, when the department has come to parliament and present their plan and their plan. Correctional services started by 74.1, which was a little bit better. It declined by 2010-2011, 62.9. 2011-2012, it picked up a bit, 8.6. Women and children do not also have that information of 2009-2010-2011. We only have the current information, which has overspent. Health started by 7.6%. So this is the department, if you look at this bar graph, this is the only department that is improving since 2009-2010 financial year up to 2011-2012. Yes. Despite the outstanding transfers and subsidies that are supposed to go to Love Life and Strong City, but they quite improving because as of now they're sitting at 77.3%, which is above 75%. Now we get into departments. We analyze the expenditure trend per department now, in terms of economic expenditure, in terms of the overall expenditure, and then we get into issues that contributed to the under expenditure and to the over expenditure. We look at rural development, it has given 8.1 billion for 2011-2012 after adjustment. It only spent with 9 billion, which is 50.2%. The department initially was projecting to spend 75%. Therefore, that means the department has underspent by 1.2 billion. Or 14.8%. 1.2 billion is not a small amount, it's a significant amount of money. Mm. That's after the department will come and explain it to the committee. Then we've got a table here where we've shown here the trend of economic association that has contributed to this under expenditure. The first one is the transfer on subsidies. 2009-2010, they spent 75.8%. 2010-2011, they spent 71.6% on the same transfer. They declined from 2011-2012 to 62.0%. So transfer on subsidies are declining in the rural development. The next line shows the overall expenditure, which has started from 67.7%, declining also to 66.5% after 50.2%. The red line represents the current payments, which are also have started to fix from 60.9% in 2010, declined to 56.6%. In the current financial year, it is 2011-2012, they slightly increased to 57.5%. The last trend is representing the payments for capital. They started by 61.7% in 2010. They increased to 61.3% in 2010-2011. This year they declined to 49.5%. The issues look like I've missed my slide on the challenges. Just in summary, the issues that have actually contributed to this trend is that of the payment of invoices for goods and services by the office expenditures were not made on time.
I'm missing some pages on my race development.
You have it?
Yes, I have it on the extract document.
On the extract document, on page 8. Okay. On this document, on page 8. From program 1, which is administration, you will see that factors that contributed to under expenditure include the non-filling of funded vetting posts and restructuring, which have not been completed. Two, the transfer payments not being made on this program. Lack of skills on cadastral and survey inspection. Lack of spending on goods and services in the same program. Goods and services have only spent 42% of this budget at the end of the third quarter. Program three, it was the delay in rolling out the comprehensive rural development strategy. This has led to the lack of spending on both goods and services, commission of employees. This remains a major concern, especially considering the slow progress in the development of rural areas. On program four, which is restitution, the other expenditure was due to the delays in finalizing land restitution claims. This remains a serious challenge, the total expenditure, when considering the slow progress in the land restitution process, and the fact that the department is expected to reach the target of 30% land restitution by 2014. We are saying, therefore, that it is imperative to note that in terms of economic certification, other expenditure on current payment was as a result of funded person pools not being filled. These posts are funded, but they are not filled. While the other expenditure transfers, there is a lot of delay in the settlement of land restitution claims. Current department is sitting at -7% of land restitution, which has been achieved to date since 1996. It is therefore clear that achieving the target of 30% by 2014 is nearly impossible. This is an initiative of poor planning, poor utilization of resources, which need urgent attention from the department. This has the potential to hamper the provision of intended services and meeting the objectives of the government in general, which is to distribute the land, 30% target by 2014. Then we move to the next department, the Department of Performance Monitoring Evaluation.
As we heard from the Department of Rural Development, we know that there's a lot of claims outstanding and that they were investigating, what the monetary value of that is. Have we heard from them at all?
Good.
Yeah, well, that was after a year. They said they're still investigating. But with 70 billion or some figure, I think just the court cases of 19 billion.
But we don't have the figure for now, but we can find it out.
Okay. I think we must this question was raised about more than a year ago. In a good option. I think when we call in, we must put the emphasis on this. Because that is the make or break of the whole part. Thank you, sir.
So we note the question of on the report and we may try and find out why is it
that I'm not going to say when they can't get the response.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. The next department deals with performance monitoring evaluation. There was no information available for the past two financial years. We only had the information for 2011-2012, and the 6.2 million was allocated for 2011-2012. They only spent 1.8%. Their projection was to spend 63.7% of the budget, but they have underspent by 9.4 million or 11.9%. The reason for underspending was that the administration program did not spend an amount of 1.2 million or 5.5%. There were unpaid invoices for goods and services, including office furniture. There were unfinished projects in the human resource section by this time of reporting. And the program two outcome monitoring evaluation. It was allocated 24.7 million. It is projected to spend about 66%. It only spent 51.8%. It was also underspent by 3.2 million or 4.2%. This was also due to unfunded working positions. This was also due to outstanding invoices. It was also due to the delay.
That's one.
The next program is Integrated Public Performance Data System, which was given 12.4 million. And it only spent 12.4 million of 57.1%. The projection was that they were going to spend about 77.2% at the end of the third quarter. But they underspent by 4.3 million, or 20%. This was also due to the non-completion of IT projects, which they promised it will be finalized by the fourth quarter. The last program of the department was Public Service Administration, which has also underspent, was given 10.9 million, spent 7.5 million, or 17.8% at the end of the third quarter. Not even close to the 10% of the third quarter. There were no concessions given to this. Yeah, we thought that they would still have a lot of time to deal with the implementation that's there and the budget process, but that's it. But what they are saying in this program?
In the report by David on this department, in this report, they keep on saying that they will reach full expenditure by the end of the financial year, but I would like to see that.
The question is how? Then you could have said you didn't have that. Okay.
What they are saying in this program here was the contribution to the expenditure is that the presidential hotline was a function shift from the president to the department. So the committed funds later in the year. So they're hoping to spend those funds in the fourth quarter as well. And the next slide deals with the previous slide was supposed to be under the of global development. The one section that I did not cover under the ground floor development will come up now on the slide. The section that the Auditor General has covered in his report. The section indicates that the department received a qualified its opinion. There were some issues. One of those issues is an incomplete asset of freight. Incomplete asset register. Two, lack of proper internal control in IT governance. And also, the department had about a fruitless expenditure of 73.4 million. An irregular expenditure of about 46.2 million. Rand. Which includes 7.9 million unauthorized expenditure related to supply chain management. This is an area of supply chain management that we've identified as a weakness in most of the departments. Because when the AG reports on most of these irregular expenditures, unauthorized expenditure, they mainly emanate from that section of supply chain management. But remember that when we went for oversight in the Gulf Coast, we we discovered that drink water affects is not a government factor in South African countries. We actually contribute to these findings as well. So if departments don't have proper systems in place in the supply chain, don't have proper qualified people, especially in supply chain, who understand the rules, the compliance issues when they do any procurement, we're still going to experience these and other expenditures and these irregular expenditures. I found it interesting for this comment to include this section, because this is the comment that approves the budget for each and every department. It appreciates the budget. So it's important that we also have a look at these results and these implications of the transactions that departments are committing on their daily basis. And this committee was a privilege of dealing with these issues on in-year monitoring as opposed to Ojagenera and COPA, which they come once in a year. So this committee can actually deal with these issues such that when it's the time for another audit period, these issues are resolved. That's why it's always interesting to put them in this particular presentation. We have Mineral Water Affairs on our next slide, which is also on the spend about 42.8% of 9 billion. It was projected to spend 25%, it has underspent by 2.5 billion, right, or 28.1%. Then this was due to the following. We've looked at their previous expenditure trend on economic classification to actually determine the cause of this expenditure. We've looked at the transfer and subsidies, which is presented by the green line. 2009-2010, it spent about 72.7%. 2010-2011, it has increased the expenditure on transfer to 88.7%. Which is above 75%. This financial year, it has dropped to 50.3%. This is one of the factors that has actually contributed to the underspending of 2.5 billion, which is 28.1% of their projected figure. The current payment has also experienced a decline from the 29 to 2011. Period, financial year period. 2010, they spent about 50.1%. 2011, 55.2%. 2011, 2012, 50.8%. The current capital payment, which is represented by your maroon trend, they started by 22.3% in 2009-2010. It was not really even closer to the one god expenditure. It dropped by 2010-2011 to 3.4%. Dropped to the finish in 3 digits. And in 2011-2012, it started to pick up to 37.6%. So these are the cases that include the Nandoni pie that was supposed to be redone because of the same problem and other system projects. The reason for this under expenditure were the late submission of invoices by the Department of Public Works to them. What happened is one of the problems that infrastructure, like inner department, becomes the client department to the public works. Second reason was the state of information and technology agents in respect of office accommodation and IT services did not also submit invoices on time. Hence, there was no money paid. The delays in filling vacant posts for senior management, delays in transferring bursaries to Water and Forestry Academy. When you look at the current situation in the department, it does have a capacity problem in certain programs. It really needs to actually expedite the process of giving bursaries to students so that it can absorb those students from universities and start building the internal capacity through that mechanism. But if they're not transferring these bursaries to Water and Forestry Academy, because these are the specialists that are being trained for the department to actually gain the capacity. So if they do not transfer that money, it then becomes a challenge in that institution. Because most of the funds are bursaries for students.
On the
transfer,
of the Department of Water, I know this is in the case of George. They transferred millions. You know, I think it was 64 million, but you know, it might be, but something like that. You know, to the George Municipality, they gave them money to build a weir in the Malchus River and also to open the dam wall. The money's there. The money, and the weir has been built with that money, but they haven't opened the dam wall, but the money is sitting in the George Municipality's bank account. Simply because they're not issuing water licenses. They all they need to do is issue a water license. Now, the last time that we asked them, if you remember, they said they had a backlog of some 700 water licenses that they had to issue. But, you know, now we look at these figures and we say, you know, they've only transferred this, but in fact, they've transferred money which they shouldn't have transferred by now.
Yes, I think on that point.
We must also put the request that there are the backlog of water licenses. I want your money to accomplish a script that there is no money involved in the sheriff's area. They are making 72,000 water licenses. That is in the sheriff's. But the point I want to make is that is the big problem that people are not experiencing. So the water license, I think we must get the request 3 hours. He says it was 3 hours coming to find out what is the backlog, where, and then he must provide it with the list. Because if you say, and the big thing with this water license, I understand, it's a VAT
project, and that is based on the increase of the height of the town. That's the ministry. I don't want to delay this. Yesterday you must also make a point. How I want to ask them the question.
Now,
yes.
I
want to
I think that the committee session is not in that. I think when I know to the department others in service here, which is a constant problem. I like the way this analysis is being done over the period of time, you know, to compare this from over the period of time. And if you look at this department, those departments that have been having leadership problems. That is why I haven't ended up with a testing on the thing over in a lot of instability in some of these departments. And I think it's something that we will over time have to look at as well. Whether now they have stabilized the land parties, you know, so that the department can be able to make progress. Okay. But this does not the question that I've been raised.
Thanks, Chair. And probably to say, the issues that we are raising here are really the issues that members are important to take note of when you are faced with this department. Because these are the specific issues, these are the specific project issues that are problematic in this process of implementing the particular project. So if you're going to address them on the general issues, you're not going to make any impact. That's why we tried the ordinance to be as specific as we can, so that members can have a sense of policy direction, policy issues in the department. We also looked at the delays in submitting invoices was a part and parcel of that particular problem, understanding for water ecosystems and some maintenance and support systems. delays in updating the national water resources, delays in construction of flow catching stations, the high vacancy rate also remains high. The department is unable to attract certain skills such as engineering and sciences, low spending on commissioned employees, that's the result of vacancies, low spending on goods and services, the result of delays in submitting invoices. And we thought it was important to highlight this issue that there was an amount of 22.1 million that was allocated for financial assistance for one of the block to note it. It was allocated 22.1 million was allocated for financial assistance for small farmers, for small scale farmers. for water subsidies, and it was not spent. Instead, it was shifted to program 4 for operating subsidies for emitting farmers. So, if your assignment was over the ground, when you find this around, to probe them on this one.
Yeah.
So, say, what implications does this shifting have to the initial plan? Because we believe that the shifting of funds defeats the purpose of that initial plan, because when that money was committed, it was attached to a program that was defined clearly in terms of its objective that it was to achieve. The reason for understanding, they still continue to up to, I don't know. But what I want to highlight is the last three, which I think they are key, emanating from the State of Nations address. 2011, that an amount of 118.2 million, which was allocated for job creation through Working for Water Project program, 0% was spent up to in that quarter. An amount of 50.8 million was allocated for job creation also through Working for Fire program, 0% was spent for social security. An amount of 48.8 million was allocated for regulation branch for expansion and strengthening of the regulation function. Only 12.3 million or 25% was spent. And this is concerning because it shows that the department did not really take serious the declaration of 2011-2012 as a job for as a year for job creation. If during the third quarter it still has this unspent funds, which is specifically for job creation. And remember that these jobs are labor intensive mostly. So there are those people who are out there in rural areas, in townships, who are sitting at home, who are waiting for these jobs to be created. We do not need any qualification, or need any formal education. And if one does not spend this money on this program, it disadvantages those very same people. And that's part of the alleviation of poverty, which, by the way, South Africa is part of the business challenge for the medium development goals that need to eradicate poverty or reduce poverty by 2040. No longer eradicate it, reduce, because we cannot eradicate poverty at all. So we can reduce it to a certain level. Then we look at the section by the general share also. The department perceives qualified education due to non-compliance with laws and regulations, as well as findings on predetermined objectives. Part of these issues were the unfair and uncompetitive procurement processes. This included certain procurements which were done from suppliers without tax clearance.
It means that those service providers
did not have a tax clearance certificate when they were given this kind of contract. So they were not compliant. One of the conditions that if you apply or if you bid for a certain tender or a certain job in the department, you must be compliant. Tax clearance is one of the conditions. CK number is one of the conditions, and so forth and so forth. So these certain procurements were done to people who were non-compliant. That's why it was a finding by the day. 21 procurements were done without a pre-quotation process. We know that when you do the procurement in government, you must get three quotes first and take the lowest quote. If you go for the highest quote, you have to motivate why. But that procedure was not followed for about 21 procurements. important contracts were procured did not declare their interest. If service providers do not declare their interest, there is some little bit of something fishy in that process. So we can find that there is an inside a job or somebody is, you know, owning that contract or that company from the department or related to the employees in the department. So you will not want to declare the interest. So it was also non-compliant as well. The high level of instability and dismissal that Terry alluded to, it was also an issue in the agent's report. It was a finding on its own. The structure of the department is inadequate and does not support the department to achieve its mandate. There is a lack of capacity, current controls and reporting systems, as well as the IT networks are inadequate. There is no proper record keeping to ensure the availability of accurate information and complete information, as well as relevant information to support financial reporting. Lastly, there is currently one investigation which is related to supply chain management that was started in March 2011. So these are the issues that affect the budget, because these non-compliance amount to irregular expenditure, amount to unauthorized expenditure, and fruitless expenditure somehow. This is the budget that the committee is approving. So that's why I'm bringing this issue to the attention of the committee, that when can give it to the department, it will also take into account these issues that they need to resolve as an issue. Not question 5 is on our next slide. In 2011, or it was allocated 16.6 billion by 2025, and it only spent 8.3%. The projection was that it would spend 12.3 billion, or 74.3%. So the department is underspent by 9 million, or 5.3%. We looked at the economic justification. Which one of the contributed to this amount of under-expenditure? Look at the transfers and subsidies. Have spent in 2019-2010, they have spent about 79.9%, which is above the 75% benchmark. Again, in 2010-2011, they had parachuted to 145.4%. While in 2011-2012, they have dropped drastically to 59.6%. The current payment started well by 74.1% in 2009-2010. Come 2010-2011, they dropped to 66.9%. 2011-2012, they started to increase slightly to 7.5%, the current payment. CAPEX started from 68.8% in 2009-2010. They dropped by 2010-2011 to 43.2%. It's slightly increased by a small percentage, or even not a percentage, by 2011-2012. So the trend here is such that in the by the 2011-2012, transfer and subsidies, CAPEX has made a contribution to the under expenditure that is reported in the Department of Credit. The reason for underspending, one, betting book. Delayed in filling funded betting book. And an amount of 5.4 million has not yet been transferred to safety and security sector education training, still sector. Unpaid invoices for goods and services. Closing on CAPEX. Delay of billing by the Department of Public Works. There are quite a number of departments that are actually complaining about the delays in billing or in submission of invoices by public works, which also calls upon the committee to undertake probably a decision to say, if we invite the Department of Water Affairs, let's also invite the Department of Public Works under one roof to come and clarify that what issue. You know, what are the contributing factors to what this delays in billing, delays in invoices, because it affects negatively on the expenditure of the client department, not on their spending, but on the client department, which is in this case, Water Affairs. So Water Affairs fall the victim, they fall the victim by the fall of the work. Only 28% has been spent on repairs, maintenance of correctional facilities. Oh, this is correctional data. I'm sorry. That's not what happened.
I
look at the other general issue, the department received a qualified audit opinion because of non-functionality of internal auditors as a result of lack of numbers. I know this issue has also been raised by the portfolio committee and the tally across. If we invite correctional spaces, this issue must not be left unattended because it's a very critical issue. Internal auditors are the structure within the department that's supposed to indicate, give some indication, some red light where there are issues that have been picked up by the general. Non-compliance with the normal supply chain management procedure, so meaning that people were just protesting, controlling goals, so that's following the procedure. Sometimes awards were made to suppliers which were connected to officials of the department. So that the issue that the regional pick up is not us. We're saying that. And about four suppliers were awarded contracts without declaring their interest again in the department. Four officials were also connected to the same supplier. The prospective supplier list was not updated on a regular basis. So for the list of suppliers that they need to update to show that they do the procurement in different suppliers. They're not doing the procurement in one and the same supplier. Give an opportunity to send everyone out there. Now, that list was not updated, meaning that people who are doing procurement are one of the same people for their time. Officials were not trained to handle performance information, and there was a lack of reviews and monitoring of performance. There are currently 7 investigations, of which 5 of these are related to court and 2 are related to non-compliance supply chain. The government has incurred following unlawful expenditure. Through the expenditure of 328,000, irregular expenditure of 944,000, an amount of 3.3 million on material losses. Officials were not.
What are the
correctional statement? Yes. Correctional statement. I know. And the
document is safe. No,
then the strategic plan of the department was not in keeping with the framework for management of program performance indicators. What some departments normally do, they just have a strategic plan that is going to make it difficult for parliament or for portfolio committees to hold them accountable. So meanwhile, there is a guideline that is prescribed by Mr. Treasurer to be followed by everyone. But sometimes that's why it's important to scrutinize the set plan for the portfolio committee purposes so that it ensures that the set plan is credible enough to hold the department accountable. Our system to capture information in the report were inadequate, computer systems were not well maintained, and when you look at our slide above, just above this one, there is an understanding on repairs and maintenance of correctional services and other facilities. But this issue was picked up also by the Auditor General to say there was committed sin that was not worth anything. It wasn't happening. There was poor filing or no filing at all. Officials were not trained to handle document information. Indicated that one. The Bank of Hell was allocated 25.9 billion, only spent 19.7 billion, which is 75.9%. Transfer of subsidies to provinces are dominating the expenditure. HIV and AIDS, infrastructure grants, hospital, social services grants, and other conditional grants. While other economic institutions have reported an expanding. When you look at the current payments, for example, they started spending 60.1% in 2009-2010. They further declined in 2011 to 62.6%. They also declined by 2011-2012 to 50.8%. This is a working point that I was actually mentioning, that most of these expenditures, even if the department is on track by 75.7%, but if you strip, you take out the transfer of the, you realize that the other core economic institutions have underspent. Your KPEC, payment for capital assets, started spending 36.8% by 2019-2010, 2010-2011, 26.7%, slight increase in 2011-2012. The reason for this was lack of spending on goods and services, lack of spending on payments for capital assets, i.e. goods and services have only spent 42%, while CapEx have spent 19.1% at the end of the third quarter. This is far below the 75%. Only 32.5% of 52 million was transferred to Love Life. Only 50% of 12.9 million was transferred to Soul City. So Love Life issue has been an issue in this community. I don't know where, but it didn't start in this community. It started, I think, in 2008, somewhere there. So it's been an issue since the previous administration. And the Auditor General also gave them an unqualified audit opinion, but also indicated that they have regret because they were, he gave them a qualified audit opinion, which is a regression from unqualified that they had obtained in the past financial year. This was due to the fact that they find the financial mismanagement. This was also due to the non-compliance with those regulations, uncompetitive and unfair procurement processes. About three procurements were done without inviting committed bids. Department has incurred irregular expenditure of 33.2 million, which is related to supply chain. Department has incurred a fruitless expenditure also of 2.5 million. So these are the issues that this committee needs to address to the department. Develop water of women and children, people with disabilities have overspent in the third quarter. An amount of 143.1 million was allocated for community discharge. Remember, all the members that have indicated that we did not get information of 2009, 2010, 2011 on this department. Still under the question. There were still some challenges in terms of the report. So we only have this information from them in fact. If you look at the graph also, it only reflects on 2011 to the class. The department spent the remaining percent of the allocation, the provision was spent about 76.9%, but then the overspending was 3.5 million or 2.5%. The issue that contributed to this overspending in terms of economic classification. One is payment for capital assets that has spent 94.9% at the end of the third quarter. Two. My apologies. The current payment was spent 86.7%, and then the overall is 79.4%. The transfer subsidies have underspent, though the spending has overspent, but transfer subsidies have not managed to reach 75% benchmark by 56.8%. Issues that call it hypothesis, I like to finish up. Employment of staff at the higher level matches, staff were employed at a higher level matches than the one approved by the Department of Public Service. So meaning that sometimes you employ a person that is supposed to be level 8, but they take that person at level 9. Employ a person that is supposed to be level 6 and take that person at level 7. That's what contributed to a high level of expenditure on the compensation of employees, hence one of the major contributors to the overspend. Secondly, some staff were employed outside the post establishment, which was formally by the department. In every year, department goes to the treasury and says, this is our post establishment, which we want to, these are the vacancies that we want to fill this financial year. Treasury will give them the budget for that. After carefully looking at whether they need this post or they don't need this post, then you will find that those posts. But now the department has done, while having those funded posts, it has created other posts outside here, approved structure, created other posts and funded them from the elsewhere. So hence the high level of expenditure on the compensation of wages to finance. Because you are still filling those approved posts, but also because they are funded, you're also creating other ones which are not funded. You also have to pay those people. So meaning that you have to take money from somewhere and find it. Yeah. High level of spending on advertising and catering, which amounts to 561.6% and 204.2%. So meaning that their advertising has spent 561.6 of its allocated budget. So the overexpenditure is 561.6%, which means
how much money?
They did not put it in the random sense. They just put it in the specific. Because those like that item and the content services can. So normally you would get that information in the department then around.
We must find out, okay, what is the advertisement, what was the budget for advertisement. But it's
561.6%, which means it's more than the actual allocation by
400.61.6%.
But transfers payments were not made to commission of tender equipment. The Auditor General has also raised some issues. Those departments received an unqualified opinion of finding on compliance with law and regulations. There was a lack of control measures to detect and prevent unauthorized expenditure. Audit committee structure was dysfunctional with no impact. Department has incurred the following unlawful expenditure. Another expenditure of 3.7 million, which emanated from overspending. An irregular expenditure of 6.6 million, of which 271,000 is related to supply chain management. That's why I was indicating that supply chain is a problem to most of the department. So that's why in other countries. Yes, sir. That's why I said in other countries, when you look at their system, their committee system, when it comes to the budget committee, they've got subcommittees, they can make a committee. It becomes a big committee because it deals with the nuts and bolts of random science for each and everybody in the government. So for instance, in US, they've got a membership of about 50 members in the budget committee, and it's divided into subcommittees. There's a subcommittee that deals with the issues on the supply chain and finance the government, and so forth and so forth and so forth. So with our current situation, it's really unfortunate that the justice is not possible to be done. Because when they have to oversee about 800 billion budget. And of which this year is about 1 trillion. How do you oversee 1 trillion budget in 11 members? So you need a philosophy secretary also at the country level as well. So that this department will start taking us to them. On the last bullet of the slide, they also have about 4 procurements that they've done to suppliers without the clearance. And 1 procurement was done without inviting the quotation. And it is just that these issues are occurring, people are telling from one department to another, similar issues. And these are the fundamental issues that make them not receive the clean audit. So it's like if the community probably can address these issues with the department, that's really different. Other challenges, obviously, say, if I look at them, it's also picked up by the agency report, the leadership. The effective leadership, culture, oversight from the politics, HR management policies, procedures, action plans, and IT governance. Those structures were not adequate.
Just the last comment by the researchers here. In the light of the above, it appears that the report stands a great chance of achieving a clean audit opinion. Let's see if they can sort out these matters, but I mean, it's already there. They can't sort it out anymore. It's already been done. The 4 procurements are done without the tax clearance, and it's done. So they can't give it to the audit. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you're saying correct. We're referring to the next financial year. That's why I was saying the community has got the privilege of seeing these things on an in-year monetary basis. So if the community can insist on
what are the portfolios that we're doing? I mean, they have to be with these departments. And we have the threat of the senior monitoring, but then when we come to the budget, we're not entitled to change the budget without the portfolio committee. But the portfolio committee is just doing this money all the time, you know, they're just taking that.
We were discussing with my colleague if probably the committee would need to change its approach when inviting the department. Not to change entirely, but strengthen the collaboration with the committee. Mm-hmm. If we are going to always invite departments on the basis of understanding and on the basis of priority department, we are not going to see other departments. We could have seen 8 departments that we need to look at. But you can't look at them, all of them, to one. Now, we need to find a strategy to say, how do we streamline them? Probably we would say, for instance, in the first quarter, let's go for the first week.
I remember this preference issue. Chair indicated that the chairperson would like us to have it outside Parliament. Okay. So it's Friday should be fine if it's outside Parliament.
Before, That we may reserve for a committee to decide contact the court if it's a political matter. Mm-hmm. And again, there was another issue whereby it was said that the other party cannot determine who should travel in another party. Mm-hmm. So it's really a matter between other parties, mm-hmm. other than the majority party. Mm-hmm. They would be expected to discuss it among themselves. However, again,
what we thought, we had thought that what we had is that five from the ANC and then three from the opposition, one each party. Now this morning, Honorable Swart said the Chief Whip of the CA is saying that according to the proportional representation, is that the CA must have two members on the tree, and one from the, not necessarily so-and-so or who, and one from the smaller parties. Now that's why I was saying that maybe you may not necessarily respond now. You can go back and investigate it and help, but you don't have to respond now.
Again, however, when a House representative decision is really is a political matter. We don't get involved in it. Just in the one, another follow-up, there was another issue that I wanted to add on what you said regarding that the committee has agreed to look at the matters of the performance monitoring and evaluation. I just wanted to sensitize the committee that the budget vote for performance monitoring and evaluation is scheduled for the 16th of May. So if you look at the number of days that we are left with, it means the committee needs to prioritize that in order to ensure that we are able to report before the EPC, which is scheduled on the 16th of May. What I'm trying to say here is that we don't go through what we went through last time, where it was written in, during the day, writing of the report in the evening, and it had to be to go to the house the following day. So I just want to advise that if we can be given more time to process it, it will be ideal. And then, Chairperson, regarding what the policy says exactly, I'm going to get that part of the policy, international traveling, and then give it to you, Chairperson, so that it can access other countries when they're deciding how many members a person can travel.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. You're ready now? But I mind the family because are you ready? Definitely stick together.
Okay, thanks. I'll try and summarize as much as possible.
Yes.
The department that I got included the Department of Communication, the Department of Basic Education, Human Settlement, Corps, and the National Treasury. But then, many members can follow me using this hard code because
Page 19.
But similar to the presentation that was delivered by Taylor, the trend is very wild. Because if you look at the Department of Communication, in the year 2010, they spent 62.5%. But after that, they regressed to 45.2% in 2011 and 46.1% in 2011. So basically, the performance is going down in aggregate. There's a serious decline because the range at first was around 60% above, and then around 40%. The same goes for COGTA. Even though they improved from 59.9%, which is virtually for almost 70%, they improved from 59.9% to 75.3%, and then afterwards they declined severely to 65.6%. That was 2011, 12 financial years. And then basic education, the big stagnant, 56.56%. It's 19, that's The reason why we do not have plenty, it was not that the department was not at the time. Therefore, but what we can do is that they are also spending far below the 25% that quota expenditure target. So there's a poor expenditure performance. The same goes with National Treasury, and that's where we have the serious problem, because the National Treasury is supposed to be the custodian of the effectiveness of financial management in the public sector as a whole. So if they understand, therefore they are not leading by example, because they are supposed to assisting all other departments, including municipalities. So if they do not spend themselves, the question is therefore, how are they going to champion the interest of the other organ government? Because when you look at them, they started performing very well in 2019 financial year with 77.8%, and then they went down to 59.7% up until they regressed further to 60.1%. Human settlement, which is a very critical department in the delivery of houses, in fact, integrated human settlement as it were, they are also declining severely, and that is a worrying trend, because we know issues of service delivery process in South Africa, they are mainly driven by inadequate or the inavailability of housing in the country, especially in cities where we've got the generation, people moving from rural areas to urban areas. In fact, now they are spending only 75%, which is good, by the way. But then you must bear in mind that the Department of Human Settlement, their spending is mainly composed of transfers. But then when we scrutinize further, we realize that most of their transfers are not performing well. So in that sense, we can't really commend them, even if they spend 75%, for so long as they are transfers to municipalities and provincial governments are not performing, because they have got a role to monitor the performance of grants and also to assist these other organs, not just their
system. So they transfer the money to the municipality, send with the money, but there is no monitoring on the municipality.
Very true, Honorable Khalifa. In fact, when I go further, I realize there's a particular program under the Department of Basic Education, which is specially dedicated to monitoring and supporting local government and provincial government. There, they've got lack of capacity. In fact, they keep on talking about this restructuring. So they've got vacant posts. So if that particular program, which is dedicated to assisting municipalities and provincial departments, to deliver on this very important matter of housing, they are basically failing these other entities, and the very worrying factor that at the end of the day you find them also withholding funds, saying, no, these institutions, they are not spending their money, they request all over, therefore we withhold their funds. But then how do you withhold the funds of the institutions that they are not even assisting and pay your mandate? Those are some of the issues that Wendelan and myself dealt with. We felt they really need undivided attention from the committee. In fact, we also need to invite the portfolio committee on human settlement, because they are more informed on sectoral issues. We are more on monetary issues, finance issues. So if we can come together, maybe, because some of the things, you know, they just passed. We don't know about them because our mandate is very clear, but even though we always try to do our best. Well, the Department of Education, of Communications, FIFA may give a summary. Their main problem is that DTT, the implementation of that digital television transmission, which is very key, because South Africa now endeavors to be kind of a developed country in a way, hence we joined the BRICS. And the theme of the State of the Nation address this year was building, integrate a vibrant economy based on knowledge economy. Knowledge economy, how do you build knowledge economy if we are not advanced in terms of information, communication, and technology, ICT? Because that is their main mandate. Most countries that are developed, they spend very well, they perform very well in terms of information, communication and technology infrastructure. Because education is living in the era of information now. So if they are lacking that infrastructure, one of the issues that were raised in the document is that even though the Department of Communication does not directly see CAC as one of the five key priorities of government, but their performance underpins all those five priority programs. Because if this department is performing well, how do you expect maybe the Department of Education to go forward? Because now they are using laptops and all those sort of things, you know. The economy is invested on information technology and communication. But as this is, they are spending well. I don't know what is happening with this ICT. I have even forgotten to do it, but I don't know what is happening. The problem has been around for a long time. In fact, I remember the captain coming before the committee and saying, "Now we'll resolve this problem," and so on and so forth. And then now the reason they are giving is that they again change the standard. So how are we going to switch from? Because we need to do that as soon as possible. In fact, especially the deadline was 2014. We had said by 2014 we should have switched from analog to digital. That digital migration. The you know the installation of set-top boxes. No one knows that. In fact, with the researchers from that portfolio committee, they are only that. They don't know what is happening. They don't know what Centec is doing on transfers. You know, transfers and subsidies. In this department takes up approximately the entire budget of the department, especially when you look at in that graph, those green graphs, but look at the one on your left. In 2010, transfer and subsidy is composed of 80.9% of the overall budget of the department. 76.2% in 2010-11. But now there's a trend going down as to why, we don't know. But I think one of the reasons is that they are not spending on transfer and subsidies because most of their performance is through agencies. Your Centec, your UCEF, your ICASA as well, your SADC. In fact, the problems that are there in SADC, somehow one or the other, they could be related to communication because communication is responsible for them. So if communication is a mother body is not performing well, how do you then expect all these other entities or agencies to perform? So but the main
problem that we have are that
concerns and subsidies is that when you look at the graph on your right, looking at the orange snake. It's regressing. At first, it started very nicely at 60%, even though it was far below the 75% target. But they regressed to 45.5% when I ran off there. Still, that very minimal improvement to 48% is nothing because I'm still in the range of 50 and 40, but below 50%. And then you say, what is happening? Because most of their budget goes to transfers and subsidies. It means those entities are not getting money. One of the reasons that there is a financial investigation happening with that USAID. It's a fund. When I spoke to this, I told you it's a fund where all broadcasting companies, the entities, they just contribute that fund so that Centec can use that fund expand information. You can intersect with that. You still can access.
Yes,
sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So, but then that slide is very clear. It says of great concern is that the Department of Communication is the Department of Communication extreme low transparent of just 48.4% or 600.4 million against and available budget of 1.4 billion. And that is 9 months into the financial year. And though in the space of 3 months, do we think they will spend more? I doubt personally. And then when we go to programs, there are 6 programs under the Department of Communication. Only 2 programs, that is administration and information communication technology, spend relatively well at 76.3% and 73.2% respectively. However, the only concern with program 2 is the requested 0.1 transferal of this allocated 3.7 million of non-profit institutions such as the Nepal E-Africa Commission. Nepal E-Africa Commission is the ICT arm of the Nepal Work, ICT arm of Nepal, working for long-term solutions for the whole ICT in Africa. So the problem that I have is that if, for whatever reason, because they said they are not getting invoices from this Nepal E-Africa, which deals with information technology in the southern region. So if they are not working very well with that entity, the problem is South Africa has already projected itself as a big brand in the African continent, especially when it comes to issues of information communication technology. It's a critical issue. So if they are not working very well with such institutions, our image, for whatever reason, will be dealt with severely, and it should be not denied. I highlighted that. And then problem 4, which is information communication technology enterprise, they spent only 49.5%. That was against a budget of 1.4 billion. The only problem that I have is that this is the first priority program of the budget. It accounts for 70% of the department budget. So if they are understanding under their own priority program, you know, that's not a good indication. You know, because in South Africa we are performing what we call performance-based budgeting and project-based budgeting, which means on your priority project, we expect it to perform very well, because it means that's where your mandate is carried out. This department is doing what I don't think is desirable. And then, even more concerning is that under program 4, only 50% of that it spends 50% across all economic classification, except for payment for capital assets, which accounts for 0%. It's worth saying. What I'm trying to say is that program 4. Program 4 spends below 50%. And this poor spending is reflected across all economic classifications. But only need of difficulty that I raised earlier. The problem that I had, I raised it earlier, is that the committee has had an engagement with this department for a long time, and it seems as if it should be finally resolved. It seems at that point, because they promised that when they come back, they would have found a solution, but then it seems in this financial year they are coming with the same problem, which is what we have a problem with. But then I know the committee will be very interested on this one. The implementation of this is 120 emergency call center, that project and that broadband ICT project. Again, there is poor performance right there. In fact, that was reflected under goods and services. It spent only 5% against an available budget of 242.2 million. So now, taking into consideration that this issue was dealt with, and I remember at that time the department said the problem was really the DC who put this project in a moratorium, and then now they are implementing, but they're coming back with the same problem, and this, that DC is no longer there.
This is the
consumer market. So, the committee to take this issue with great attention. But then, the auditor general, the second investor is of great interest, is that in the financial year 2010-11, the Department of Communication improved from a qualified to unqualified audit opinion finding. Yeah, that's the problem. Finding was compliance and treat the same objective. But of note is that the department did not monitor its spending on projects. So that's one of the reasons why. But now they're giving excuses and excuses. They are really not monitoring, you know. But also there are issues related to supply chain. Contravention of supply chain regulation rules and access to irregular expenditure. And that is also, as was reported by the AC, there was a high level of acting in the department, especially in the strategic leadership aspect of the department or Commonwealth department. And then there are investigations related to fraud and other financial misconduct. A lack of compliance with legislation on the audit committee, irregular expenditure of 2.8 million, excluding wasteful and fruitless expenditure of 1.4 million. And all these issues are under supply chain management. So when you think about it, the department is under pressure, but then the budget goes, you know, and things really, it is going. And then now we have the Department of Culture. The issue I have with the Department of Culture is that it is central to the actual realization of integration and coordination in the public sector, which we will remember in 2010, the Public Sector Commission released a report, the State of Public Service report, identifying clearly that the main culprit to poor performance and service delivery in the public sector in general, lack of coordination and integration. And then when you identify key stakeholders, you know, then to ensure that such coordination is there, culture is critical, because they have a duty to see to it that when municipalities receive their grants, when provinces receive their grants, they do have the capacity. If the capacity is not there, they must work hand in glove with the national treasurer and ensure that these departments do actually spend as it is expected.
What's
that? Same with the national treasurer, we found that they are also letting that very same capacity themselves. Members will remember that they were supposed to be, I don't know, I think in collaborating with the GPSA, that means that municipal infrastructure support agency. Today, we still don't know what is happening, because this year is not just the year of jobs, but also the year of massive infrastructure spending. And we all know that infrastructure spending happens at local and provincial level. But we very much know that capacity is not there. We also know that it is COPTA who is supposed working in collaboration with national treasurers and other agencies to see to it that capacity does actually exist there. But then it's a shame, because they are also not showing any particular capacity themselves to perform. I will really highlight the programs that are specifically designed to intervene and to support and to monitor, but they are also struggling themselves. So, the stakeholder experience and performance of this department has been kind of improving from 2011 to 2012, they regressed by 10 percent points, from 75.3% to 65.5%. And really, this is a cause for concern, especially when we look where or the specific areas where they are not spending. But then that graph will just show you that most of their budget is made of transfers and subsidies. The very same transfers that are supposed to be assisting municipalities and the ones that municipalities get to implement the services. The issues of water, sanitation, and housing, contact is very, very critical.
This one is very clear. I can't see.
And then, contact has got 6 departments, but only 2 departments spent well. Programs. Yeah, they've got 6 programs. But only 2 spent well. And those are? They've got 7. Okay, so I missed that one. They've got 7. And then the one that spent well is the program 5, so we have the Municipal Government 15, and program 7, which is now the Department of Traditional Affairs, which both had the spending of 91.4% and 72.8% respectively. But then, I'm coming to the very important aspect of this department. That is program 3, Government and Intergovernmental Relations. I hear that this is the most critical program as it relates to the non-transferal of the MIG, and it has a budget of 34.5 billion, thereby accounting for 71.5% of the department's budget. So, a significant chunk of the department budget goes to this project, and mainly for the municipal infrastructure grant, as we remember that this year, and this, maybe I don't know, in the potential field, will be dealing with infrastructure, and the need is critical there. But then, the need is underfunding. As it is stated here, only 58% or 23.4 billion has been spent, mainly due to non-transparency of the need. And other reasons, such as the submission of invoices for the Special Investigation Unit. But what is important is the non-transparency of the need. It's a recurring act that is happening in many departments. Reasons are given. But in this case, the main reason that was given is that there is a suspicion of fraud. Municipalities are suspected of fraud in this grant. Therefore, what the department is doing is scanning their bank account, trying to scrutinize whether they are proper. So there's that project going on to verify the banking accounts and other financial processes of municipalities that they use when they try to get this MIG. So money has not been transferred as a result of that. But then the question is, what is happening to infrastructure on the ground while this is taking place? Because it's been happening before, it's happening now. Going forward, given what the president said, what is happening with the MIG? We also now starting to suspect the issue of this reason that is always given, late submission of invoices by institutions. They keep on coming up and up and up. Now, you don't know whether it's just a lame excuse, you know? And one of the discussions we had with Telelan is that one way or the other, there must be a mechanism to ensure that even service providers do submit invoices on time, because if they don't, it affects only the performance of the department. or on their food. And then when you come here, they call up. Yes, you know. So one or the other, if there is no mechanism, that mechanism must be established. If it is there, it must be used, and Parliament must know about that mechanism, because money are not spent, and this reason keeps on coming on and on and on. But what I said in this is that the kind of performance is concerning, given that the purpose of this program, Program 5, no, it's Program 3, Governance and Intergovernmental Relations, is mainly to promote coordination and alignment between the three spheres of government, as well as to provide oversight, intervention and support programs to provinces and associated institutions. So, failure to perform here is paramount to failing municipalities and provinces in spending their grants. There will be punishment, yes, but we also need to come back and say, if you are failing in that regard, how do you expect those institutions to perform? That program 3 is critical. I think going forward, the committee, when we deal with corruption, we must put all our focus on it. I think I've addressed this, but then program 4, disaster response management. Then, I don't know, I was just listening on the radio, so I don't know if there's any substance what I would say, but I remember, I think the MEC of corporate in KZN on it, she was complaining that they are being owed, I don't know how many billions, yes, they are being owed to buy corporate. National corporate, all these things of disaster, because disasters happen and then they have to use their money and then they are being homeless that they'll be paid. And now they are in a state of fear, because if a disaster strikes, they don't have reserve now, you know. So I think that's something that the committee will have to take up with the department, because you know, climate change, disasters will happen. People die, especially in poor areas. That's the very sorry part of it, because normally it happens where it's not supposed to happen. So, problem 4, I had a problem with it. That's the guy. But then some of the findings of the Auditor General, but COPSA regressed from an unqualified audit opinion on findings on three determined objectives to a qualified in that financial year, which is 2011. This was due to the following reason: incomplete disclosure in the financial statement relating to irregular expenditure incurred. Also, the department failed to maintain a proper record keeping system that would ensure that adequate and completing supporting evidence is available to support reporting on predetermined objectives. The issue of predetermined objectives is about planning, because the department comes with strategic plans, their indicators, and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, you can tell maybe they were done by certain private firms, or they were just, something out of there. Also, which is very critical, that the one reported an amount of funds of 1.2 million in irregular expenditure related to supply chain, 148.3 million irregular expenditure on others, which we do not know. They are just categorized as others. So, the total of irregular expenditure amounts to 120 million. That is quarter, but they are supposed to be assisting and also providing services, especially the most essential services, water, housing, and so on and so forth. And then, the Department of Education and Rural Affairs do not have a graph, because they do not have, you know, they are failing you compared to the other departments, but what I can say is that they also had a slow spending of 66%, as we saw in that figure. So, they had a budget of 14.1 billion, but they only spent 9.3 billion. So they were nowhere closer to the 75% per quarter expenditure target. Maybe the Department of Higher Education. Now, the question is that will the department be able to spend the remaining budget in just 3 months remaining? Well, I doubt that. But then to just jump into some issues of critical importance is that transfers and subsidies should be our area of focus, because this is where the budget of the department goes. But then fortunately, the Department of Education performed relatively well, as it had an overall transfer of 74.2%. Or which was just 8.3 billion against a budget of 11.2 billion. But except for transfers and subsidies, all other economic classifications did not perform well. So just the long and short of it, they performed well in terms of economic classifications in equity. But then the other economic classifications, they are found wanting. But then program analysis will show where exactly these grants are transferred and how are they performing. Then obviously the other but then when I go straight to economic classification, 5 departmental programs, only 3 had a good overall spending or performance. For instance, program 1 spent 66.2%, which in terms of the National Treasury report is in line with they are protecting. However, one of the things I think the committee should note and jot down is that we must verify if the transfer of around 10.6 million to UNERCO was made in March 2011 at Facebook. Because in the report, the department said we did not transfer this money to UNERCO, but then we will only transfer it in March. And now March has passed. That's about 10.6 million. March has passed. They didn't. Maybe when we invite them, then we will get to know. And then program 3 spent 95%, maybe through 100% performance and transfers and subsidies. However, goods and services showed low spending of 58.7%. Against the budget of 17.8 million. And according to their explanation, it's due to slow processing of claims and invoices for travel and assistance. We don't know how to do that. And then the relatively slow spending of 53.1% on compensation of employees is said to be due to
unfilled vacant
post. And the committee should take this as a cause of concern, given its impact on the department's operations, job creation coupled with the repeated call for the filling of vacant posts by the president. It's something that Senelani has already alluded to. So the issue of vacant posts is now a no-go zone for the department. And then program 2 had the worst spending of only 38.1%. Or just 704.5 million against 1.8 million. This is the worst performer. So, all economic classification performed well, except for compensation of employees, which spent at least 74.8%. There is basically but all other economic classification spent bad, only 38.1% into the best cause of the financial year. So how are they going to spend the other money? We do not know. But then of greater concern is the slow spending on goods and services of only 34.5% against the available budget of 1.5 billion. It should also be noted that goods and services account for 81.6% of this program. Now, the issue that I'm sure the committee is very interested on is the issue of the web books, too. Here it is reported that the slow spending in this program, this program too, is due to the slow delivery of web books too, which is going to be used in the second half of the school year. I think the committee will verify if the delivery of the web books too did take place in March. No, I think I confused that. When is the second part of the school year? Because we need to monitor them. When they will start, April.
July.
It's July.
July. And then June is the first part. When they will open the opening July.
No, yeah, but then I think it is the main issue here is that these people must be monitored because the availability or inavailability of workbooks is critical to the performance of both the learners and teachers.
Because at the end of the year, the attention
of the exactly. So those are the critical issues. Another very critical issue is the technical secondary school recapitalization grant. Very important grant there. Slow performance is also evident on those rules. But the main reason for.
Who are you talking to? Why are you laughing? Who are you laughing?
I don't know that is my trademark. It's a new one. And I love it. So, slow spending here is mainly on technical secondary school recapitalization grant. They spend only 43.6%. That's a very serious issue because we are already into the 9 months of the financial year, only 3 months remaining. Even if they do transfer the remaining time, the question is, will provinces be able to spend in a short space of just 3 months? Even if they do not transfer, what is happening to those children who are awaiting, you know, the building of these schools and the maintenance of those schools? But then the critical issue is that transfers were withheld due to slow spending in the following provinces, that is the Eastern Cape, Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga. I remember this has been a call for concern previously. And as I noted earlier, the problem is that the relevant department is supposed to be assisting, monitoring, and supporting these provinces. You know? So, as it happened before, I think at some point the committee will have to try and set all the stakeholders under one roof, or also maybe interact with the portfolio committee, as I indicated, they have more information. But when we write the department alone, they tell the only side of the story, we never know the other side of the story, but the money is not spent. Schools are not built, so the problem goes on and on and on. So, despite a relatively better performance of 57% on the demanded schools grant, however, it is reported that there were also funds withheld from provinces, and those include the Cape, Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, and Western Cape. You know, this demanded schools grant is supposed to be assisting, you know, one of those other things the children to also excel, you know, subjects like math and science, which are critical, you know, especially in the long run field. So, if they are not transferring funds that would help, who is the ultimate victim? That is always the question. Because when we hold in fire, as members always say, yeah,
no,
basically punishing the department because they get their own money. But that is not to say you transfer even if they don't spend. You know, there's a deadlock there. But that deadlock is a growing cause, you know, for a future that we do not desire for our children, which are the first grants. So, this is the problem with it. That technical school, especially grant, with holding of funds, I thought would be another area of concern, and also that inadequate school grant would be another that would be the lack of funds against problems is a recurrent occurrence. And the dilemma is that it is the people on the ground that fall victim. For instance, during the engagement on the 2010-11 fourth quarter performance, the Department of Basic Education has promised that the new monitoring and evaluation unit will support provinces to spend their grants. However, now I think things to change. I think in our engagement with the committee, we must ask about that unit, because I don't know what they said. They established this new unit, which will reverse, you know, this happening of grants being withheld because of capacity. The committee was saying, do these provinces have sufficient capacity to carry out, you know, the task of building these schools? And then somehow the department was found wanting. Somehow they then gave an extension. No, but we do have now a unit that we just established. So I think when they come back, the question will have to be asked, what is happening? Same with that NISA for culture. Culture should be asked, what is happening with that NISA for infrastructure? Keep on coming with reasons over and over again, that issues keep on happening. This one is not important, okay. But I don't have much information. I know you do have much information. That this current, that school infrastructure backlog grant, they say 700 million was not transferred. I do not have any further understanding of what is going on there. You can support. Because it's another critical grant. When I read the document, they said that 700 million has not been transferred by the department. But I remember that was using monitoring that SMK education department. So I don't know which aspect of it, you know, in the larger scheme of things. But I think it's something that we need to know, is that I don't have a clearer context. So I will just highlight
it.
Now, can I ask? Yes,
sir. You remember we were in China. This report is at the end of December. And when we went there in China, it was only then that they were beginning to implement our actual December. That was given with the machine.
Would you remember that when this grant was established by the government, it was not allocated, it was unallocated grant in the beginning of the financial year. They started to reverse it by the second quarter of the financial year, which was during the government year. So, also looking at the timing of the report, the second quarter was placed in December. So within that October, November, December period, it didn't have been transferred. But these people are saying the transfer money for the rest of the transfer for 9 months period, how do you expect them to transfer it within 3 months? But we monitor the fourth quarter and the data period.
that had a lot of untruth, because when they came for the 700, for the 700 euros, that's when they presented the program and told us that by January we have used. So somewhere I have just we need to monitor, because they used some words in order to test it so that it must be released. So for them to say it was not released by the end of December, when they had already told us that everything was in place, the companies, the factories and all were going to work. So it's over time.
Yeah, maybe one thing also I just need to remind the members, I don't know, but I find it very interesting. The issue, remember when the committee was engaging with the TC, in fact, I was talking to Pilar that we need to do some kind of program research on that one. The issue of this very same ground, the backlog, school backlog, yeah, that one. Because the TC said, we asked, because they said there are a certain number, I can't remember certain number of math schools in the Eastern Cape, but sometimes they said there's only one in KZN. And we inquired, they said no. But in our actual understanding, you know, as citizens, we know that most provinces have got rural areas, and most rural areas have got math schools, you know. So, what do you mean when you say only Eastern Cape that has got that number, and then only one in KZN? And then the DC, when was asked, he alluded to the fact that the data that they have been using to cost and plan for this grant was incorrect. Provinces have been submitting incorrect information. He even went on to say, even sometimes the local, you know, the equitable share for provinces, it's kind of misleading, because provinces, they don't submit credible information. But then on the issue of this grant, the problem is that if that grant is there, but it's based on a data that underestimates the scale of the problem in the country, it means in terms of policy, because it's policy, the policy is not really responding to the actual situation on the ground. In fact, it will also mean that that grant, because they are busy trying to get the proper data so they can plan well, it means even the lifespan of that grant, it may have to be extended once they realize that no, we have more math schools, you know, in other parts of the country. Yeah. We are talking about that, and say, I was in that context. Yeah, schools that look particularly on the math schools. No, not on terms. That's right, but then let me just say, because I think I am finished, because I've also alluded to the challenges facing traders. But then the moral of the story, I think, when we engage with the national treasury, with the question, if national treasury is failing, how do we expect provinces and municipalities to perform? Because they are the big brother. So how do you expect the children to perform if you do not perform yourself? Thanks, members.
And also, I think now we have proposed to take him to the
Yahoo. No, no, I understand that.
Okay, it's not a while or so, but I think
that's all I wanted to know.
Even the strong feeling.
No, no, okay, but you know, it's just, I see that the actual expenditure of capital assets at the end of the third quarter was only 20% of the 259 million. And they said the reason for the slow implementation is the slow implementation of sanitation projects to the accelerated community infrastructure program and the rural outdoor infrastructure. And you know, I just wonder whether we can ask maybe
now, I think you're quite right. You remember, I think somehow even the Human Settlement Portfolio Committee is concerned about that because of the understanding. I think there's a whole lack of clarity in terms of what is happening there. You know, I know that this week they were dealing with this surplus. They were raising all the provinces were there, including the National Department. They were still raising this matter. What is happening with this matter? we do know that from the junior revenue side, they are phasing out this money, but there is a proposal from the Human Settlement side of the Portfolio Committee to meet with us in terms of discussing the future of that grant. I think they will still extend that invitation to come. So I agree with you.
And they will get four calls.
Three.
You say then they will get four calls on the fish. About that 27th.
I think another part is saying that if we don't invite them, let's raise those questions with them. And then we take it from there. In fact, if a lot of members would remember, at the beginning of when we delivered the business revenue, we didn't have the third quarter report one day, but amount of document that National Treasurer was trying to give us as because they didn't give us the third quarter report was a document that is this document. It said 29th February with a headline Treasurer Relief, which is actually the performance of grant as a procedure. If you look at this document, this grant is not performing at the level of the human system. There is no. The human settlement, the provincial human settlement and local government thing has ended December 31, 2011, by the 66%. Disengage, 62%, Housing, 60%, Limpopo, 59%. But I don't know how this works because the other one is saying human settlement development grant. I don't understand the difference between the two. Again, also 66% is underperforming as well. So maybe if we're not going to, I think what we could do is to identify those departments that we think that we're not inviting. While you're not inviting, but just to write to them some questions to respond to that. Human settlement has been identified as one. I don't know if there's another one. fine.
Very important. And I think much as we think we are having a new department, standing committed on appropriation, I think we must make an opportunity to debate the first order in Parliament and raise the issues that are of concern, because we are going to complain of the spike, everything, but we must bring it right into the house where everybody is there and the ministers are listening what their partners are doing, because they might be aware and getting wrong reports. But as long as we can try to make an opportunity to debate the third court or any other court of that issue, but the third court I think is the one that we must raise.
Jefferson, thank you. My special dealings at least the most informative document I have is just on the initial part of the question. And I think the act is on state. The act is informed that relevant to our stakeholders, what's all the time. Of course, if you look at this, that's not good. And according to the only way how we can take action is
I kind of agree more with Honorable Mashiach's assertion. However, the little challenge that we have now is that we are at this time of the EPC, you know. I don't know how can we manage. Maybe we need to look at the program, find a way if we could debate. But I agree with the civil comment. I think this is the reason we chose the third quarter, because it is a very good measurement in terms of saying how performance is going to look like going forward. I mean, if performance, Department of Performance, Management Evaluation keeps on saying now we are at 29%, but we'll be able to exhaust the budget, how on earth is it going to happen? And the difficult part of it is that it should not just be something that will end between the department and the committee. It would have been a really ideal situation to debate. But I think we can look at the program and make a proposal. I'm sure we can make a proposal. Let's look at the program and make a proposal. However, sorry.
I would appreciate it that we debated in Parliament. The only problem that I foresee is that, you know, because we come from different parties, we're all going to attack the same thing, you know, and then maybe what we should then do if we get to debate is divide it up amongst the various departments, so that the DA will take those two departments or three departments, and the ANC will take those, etc. So that we then speak against each other.
Yeah.
I agree again that we are all one in one team. There are problems. We can't pretend that now the problems are not there. I think the issue is finding the time in the program to do this. But I just want to make an announcement that we has just been received by the committee section around the Department of Education. She just got a message now that says the DG of the Department of Education will not be able to attend the hearing for the Department of Education because they have to go to attend to some urgent matters. we look at this program, understanding what the Department of Education, because we could swap if the city is not going to be there. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to have the other officials. We could swap with human settlement course. Now, I mean, if they are not there, where it is on page 19, that's where the education is. They're not there. But the issue, you know, this average figure, they are hiding a lot of information. The report, for instance, was saying these figures look good. But the real of the matter is that what makes them look good are the transfers. Their own spending needs much to be desired. And even with these transfers, including human settlement, you're looking at the individual departments. I mean, we'll try if one of the members not have the document, we can also rerun it and members and have. I mean, therefore, the bills were grants are unaccompanied as well. So maybe it's a suggestion that we can take whether in the light of this message that the DG will not be able to come, but he's saying other officials, senior officials, will come. But maybe we can decide whether do we want to hear from those officials, or we want to take another department. Thank you,
sir. I think calling someone to substitute the DG one can, especially that we have had a lot of concerns about education. Also, I just that maybe we leave them out if we can call any other department, because we definitely have a lot of issues to discuss with the DG. We have to go and find out whether their progress in the Eastern Cape, how far it is. So leaving them, even if we see that they are spending, if it is low, will be, it's low average, I think won't be that bad, because we have a lot of information about the Department of Education. We really have a lot of information about it. It's just to wait and give them a little, this little break. And when we go to them, we know that we are going to benefit more than a little information, because they'll be giving us information from what we had them in January. We only missed February and March, and then I don't know, that was my suggestion, that we leave them out of contact because we want to.
Where must the Department of Education come 25? No, but that doesn't need it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Like the old material. Yes, and then all the later papers here will be there.
Ah.
Well,
I
just wanted to indicate here that on that very same point that you're raising about transfer to provinces, we put together a national document consists of treasured by conditional grants to provinces. Their allocation and their performance. On this document, the two pages, therefore, the table in fact, that gives you a clear information of location, the secondary revenue bill, and what has been transferred as a non-recorder, what has been sent in total. So, I'm adding on the second thing that even we, as much as the committee, can push for some steps to be done by the department, of which they are doing those some steps. Are they performing where they are supposed to perform? Because sometimes the department are not spending some steps. They need some steps in them. Who is spending some steps is program and then local government. So if we check their spending on this report, that's really another question. And it leaves much to be desired, because you also have the LCOP on the other hand, that is playing a role on this one. We play a role in the central government, and the LCOP we have to play a role on the issue of grant. But just to summarize, most of the issues that came out of the presentation were recurrent from the previous family earlier. We take the issue of vacancies, the issue of outstanding invoices, the issue of inherent transfers, the issue of CAPEX. They're recurring those issues. Over and above those issues, there are new issues in the comments that I'm making from the Auditor General's report. Those are the annual expenditures, regular expenditures, and future expenditures. Those issues are of critical importance for the comment, because this is the comment that passes the budget. If you can put together all those arbitrary expenditure and irregular expenditure, add them together from these different departments, the amount of money you can have is amazing.
Yeah.
It's huge. Now, I'm just highlighting this important issue to you and your members to put them in the back of your mind, both into the education of the department. Thank you.
I think
that's
what's useful. You know, the other part, maybe, that we didn't mention, which highlighted from these reports of the Auditor General in the supply chain management. Clearly, it leaves much to be desired. And in some departments, in the report, I can't remember really which department, but the internal auditors are auditing. It's dysfunctional. It's law that each department must have internal audit. It's not an optional thing. But if you want to have it, you can have it. If you don't, it's not optional. So, but I think that there's a lot of departments that have problems in the supply chain management. And that's where the issues of corruption take place. And if it is not tightened, and I think really, honourable members, maybe we should think about how do we intervene in this area of supply chain management. You hear from a few departments, for instance, they gave work without tender. We start taking that work to tender or calling for free codes. So all those kinds of things, they need to be, I think we need to find a way of thinking about those departments, how do we deal with them.
Okay, one
from
me.
Why should we come with us?
we must also invite the minister to sit here that he also can listen to us.
Now,
here,
if you start playing the role that we are acting there for, little holding money and saying, you're cutting your budget because you're not performing. Communication, you've been at 50% of your budget for, you know, for 3 years long. Why don't we give you 100%? We give you 50%. And then you've just got enough because you can't spend it.
In fact, with some of the department, I think that is including the water affairs. During the adjustment, it was adjusted down. In other words, these figures are not really the true reflection of the understanding. Because already the budget was cut down. But still understanding. So if the budget was left there, there could have been serious problems. But I think that if we could, in preparation for this hearing, make it clear where, I think that it would be very useful. You know, Trelani and Mosa, you came late for the meeting. But on the other side of the work, I think the work is really good, you know. For us, those of us who are here, I think we have benefited from this. But what I would really like to request from you, again, is to, just in preparation for this hearing, for department by department, I'm bringing especially for those who are not here. I think for us, it's a bit easier, those of us who are here, that if we're going to deal with water affairs and what to account those things, if we could have some of the pages, in fact, so that we could also assist the other colleagues from the portfolio committee, you know. They're not going to be interested in reading the whole document. It's fine for us, but it could be useful to do that. It's just drawing from those what you call it departments. The last thing I remember is we have the first plan here for the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation and NIDA. I see that it's accompanied by the annual performance plan. This is the ATP. Oh, that's for the first plan and the ATP. Well, I think it's good for that. This policy is for the ATP. On the side. I'm not sure whether this is a first plan, not an ATP. It's a first plan. They didn't have it last year. We raised the matter. It's even now. And I think that you can communicate with them when you invite them, but you inform them that you would want to have the annual performance plan. Because the annual performance plan says this year, this is what we're going to do. The strategy plan is over the time, long time. We don't know when what is going to be done by when.
Just on the actual use of the agency, the ATC this week, that they've identified, I think, something like 15 or 20 people that they want to interview for the position of the board members, various board members. But, you know, if we're the monitoring committee or the portfolio committee, shouldn't we be involved in that?
No, I think you you're spot on. But I think that's a lot of confusion of whether we're going to deal with them. As a result, when they appointed the portfolio committee, an ad hoc committee, I think that's where Honorable Snell is then. Are they dealing with that now?
No. Honorable Snell and Colise represented part of the ad hoc committee, but I was told to postpone interviews.
No, but it doesn't answer Honorable Swart's question as to why coming an ad hoc committee when there's a committee that is responsible for that. But on that note,
I know that it's such a dig. It consists of MA and MCS, right? And whole stadium. Then I talk to you.
The another member, that is the Brad, the great partner, and you are invited. Thank you very much.